Okay, Learning Tonight is sponsored by Marvin and Fern Resmitz for Rafu Shlema for Fern's father. What's his name again?
Shmuel Pesach ben Tuvia Isaac.
Okay, from Shmuel Pesach ben Tuvia Isaac, and it's also Lilu Nesham of my mother, her Yahrzeit tonight, Yimi Morati, Etzer Brana by Yitzchak. Okay, now everybody has to mute themselves. Let me see if I can get this thing. Okay, we got it. Let me see where this is. One second, let me go. I'm look. Oh, here we go. So, no. One second. Okay, everybody's muted. Okay, so we're on Daf Samach Gimel tonight, right? Okay, let's go over the Mishnah a little bit on Samach Beis and Beis 62b, Samach Beis and Beis, page 124. If you look in the Mishnah, so the Mishnah in the middle of the Mishnah, it says Ad HaGishamim. This is around 10 lines at the bottom on page 124, Samach Beis and Beis. Ad HaGishamim, Ad Shihu HaGishamim. If a person takes a neder, he says, let's say Konam Yayin, the person says that the wine is prohibited to be like a Konam, like a Korban, Ad HaGishamim, or he says Ad Shihu HaGishamim, either one of them, Ad Tired Revi'ah. So the Tanakhama holds it's when the neder is in force until the second group of rains. There are three groups of rain. So the second group of rains starts raining. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Ad Shiyizmanan Shel Revi'ah. Gamliel says, no, it doesn't have to be the actual rains came down. When the calendar day that we normally expect them to come, then that's the end of the neder. Okay? So then slip down to the Gemara, three lines from the four lines from the bottom. So Amr Zera says machloket between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel is when the person says ad hageshamim, the plural. He says aval amar ad hageshem, but if he says just till the geshem, ad zman geshamim kamar, then everybody agrees. So in other words, Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel is always to the calendar date. But the Tanakhama is the one who changes his position. He says Ad HaGeshem is the calendar date, but Ad HaGeshamim means till the actual rains come down. Let's look at the Ran on this for a minute. Around 10 lines to the bottom in the Ran. So he says, you have the place, Josh? In the Ran. You either have it or don't have it. On page 124 in the Ran, you have the Ran? So around 10 lines from the bottom, where it says Gimel Mem, Gemara. Okay? So Gemara, Machloket Amar HaGeshamim, Kolomar, Ki Pligi Tana Kamar Shgamliel, Yibayash Tirei, Yibayash. He says, when there's Machloket in Tana Kamar and Rosh Gamliel, whether you need the rain to actually come or the date, Dafka Da Amar HaGeshamim, that Machloket is only if it says HaGeshamim. V'lamar HaGeshem, Afilu Tana Kamoda, if he says HaGeshem, the need of the Tana Kamar, like, so he agrees with Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel. Dan zman shem kamar v'lo mitzar ella ashigiz man Rabbi Yeshnia. U'machshu hacha, and so they ask here, amai l'mash malei nami the Tana Kama ad geshem. You read a mash ki hechi d'mash malei ad geshamim. So why does the Tana change the position? Why does the Tana Kama, when it's ad geshem, there he agrees the calendar day, but then ad geshamim. Tanakhama says, no, now everything is different. Why does he change his position? Says Venira Bainai, so the Ran says, seems to me, Dainu Taima Dimidina Mashma, he says that Misaradin, I would all left my own devices, I would think it would mean till the calendar day comes. Kabua Klomar Kabua. When there's not a Zman Kabua, there's like a period of time. He says, so in other words, if one end of the period of time is like not a date certain, it's like a period of time. So I don't want to put myself in a safek. He says, so a person normally is just until the time arrives. He says, hakanami koshen lachatos man kabua shlofim maharcher harbe b'kshamim lomachit nafshei l'sveika. So here too, he's talking about the second group of rains. So the time, the length of it could be different. It's not certain when it's coming. So he says, Ba'ad she'yia zman ka'amar. So he's saying until the time arrives, and then he brings a raya. That's what he means. So now I'll explain shortly. Now, slip two lines from the bottom. Slip down in the run. U'mikana talameid, v'choshen ha'chato zman kavua, she'yia zman ka'amar. Hilkach, yishamim she'en li retan zman yedua, midina ki'amar, adageshem ad she'yia zman ka'amar. So it means that left to my own devices, all things being equal, I would say that Ad HaGeshem means up until the calendar date arrives. I don't want to get into sfeikot. I want certainty in my life. That's what I mean. So if a person's thinking neder, he says Ad HaGeshem, that's what he means. He says Uvaha Pilu Rabbanim Odu. And the Chachamim agree with that as well. It's a calendar date because I don't want to enter sfeikot. I want clarity in my life. Miu bi Ad HaGeshemim hu depligi. But if he says Ad HaGeshemim, then there's a machloket. The came with the Sahih of the Mimar Ad HaGeshem. Since he could have said Ad HaGeshem, and then it's the calendar day, Ba'amar Ad, turn the next page on Samech Amud Aleph, Ba'amar Ad HaGeshamim, and instead he adds on like a little bit more, he says Ad HaGeshamim, the rain's plural, through Rabbanan to the Tuyitati, the coming hold, he's trying to add on something more than he would have said with Ad HaGeshem. So the more adding on is till the rains actually arrive. That's what he's saying, till the rains arrive. Adine, though Daiki in Kib and Geshem Likam. So he says there's no difference between the two, people aren't so precise. But he tame, Ibishain to touch Tozvan Kabua, Ashkizvan Oka Amar, Kadhivna, Ki Amar, or Little Me Livzat. Okay, so again, let's just review. So if the person says Ad HaGeshem, then the Tanakama and Rosh Hashanah agree it's to a date certain, a calendar date certain. In other words, he makes an Eder. It could be, let's say, in Elul. He says, Konam, wine is unprohibited to him, Ad HaGeshem. So that means the date certain for the Geshem, to the second, the calendar date for the second group of rains, which we'll see in a minute. But if he says Ad HaGeshamim, that extra language, according to Tanakama, means that it's till the rains actually arrive, not the calendar date. The rains actually arrive. And according to Rosh Hashanah, no, it means the calendar date as well. All right, let's just see further in the Gemara. Now, So now the top line of Samech Gimel Aleph in the Gemara, everybody with me? Okay, you have the place to ask the top line in the Gemara, Samech Gimel Aleph, 63a. Okay, Meitvei, so we're asking Kasha against Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira is the one who explained the Machloket. We're asking from the following Braisa, and this is a long Braisa, but you have to be patient, and then the question will come at the end of the Braisa, okay? Meitvei, Ezu Izmana Shel Revia. So what are the times for the different rains? And as you can see, this is Braisa is brought down in Masechet Tanit, and we'll, for Rabbi season, we'll see in a minute. Habachira b'shlosha. So the Bechira, the early rains, come on the 3rd of Mar Cheshvan. Beinoni, the second group of rains, come b'shiva, on the 7th of Mar Cheshvan. Afela, the late rains, come b'yastrim u'shlosha d'bri v'meir. So the way the price is brought down here, it comes on the 23rd, but the way this is brought down in the Gemara, in Masechet Tanit, it's the 17th, not the 23rd. It should be an b'shiva asar. So according to v'meir, the three dates are the 3rd of Mar Cheshvan, the 7th of Mar Cheshvan, 4 days later, and then the 17th of Mar Cheshvan, 10 days later. Or wait one second, let's wait. We're not going to go with what says 23rd. We're going to 17th, okay? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, B'Shiva, Rabbi Yehuda says the first rain is on the 7th of Mar Cheshvan. U'B'Shiva Asar, the second rain is on the 17th of Mar Cheshvan, which is 10 days later. U'B'Estrim U'Shlosha, then 23 days later, then the 23rd, which is like another 6 days later. Rabbi Yossi Omer, the Shiva Asar, Rabbi Yossi, in other words, each one, the dates get later. In other words, they're using the other one's dates, but they get a little bit later. Rabbi Yossi Omer, the Shiva Asar, the first date when the first rains come on the 17th of Mar Cheshvan, Uba Estrim U'Shlosha, on the 23rd, Uba Chodesh Kislev, and Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Bechenaya Rabbi Yossi Omer, Eina Yechidim Mitani, not Shigi Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Rabbi Yossi, who is the last opinion, he says Yechidim, and the Ran says Yechidim. If you look at the Ran on the left-hand column, he says, in Yechidim Mitanim, Tamidich Chamim Mitanim Palim, Alek Shamim, Kedem Perakam Mitanit, Tu Yechidim Mitanim. In other words, if rain hasn't come by the time that the third rain is supposed to come, so Yechidim, i.e. the Tamidich Chamim, begin fasting for it. So they're not allowed to fast until Rosh Chodesh Kislev, meaning we don't want to be Matriach and Kadosh Baruch Hu with our problems until it gets to be serious enough. So according to Rabbi Yossi, Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Now, so we said concerning this Braisa, So what are the significance of these dates? So the first review, the first date, is to ask Talmatar. So it means that Reb Meir, who's the first opinion, holds that on this in Eretz Yisrael. So on the 3rd of Mar Cheshvan, you begin saying Ting Talmatar. And Reb Yehuda holds on the 7th of Mar Cheshvan, you begin saying Ting Talmatar. And Reb Yossi holds that on the 17th of Mar Cheshvan, you begin saying Talmatar. He says, Shlishit, the last date, what's the significance of the last rain? In other words, the Gemara is not like an almanac, for weather. Well, why are the coming concern for when the different rains are coming? So the Shlishi, the third date given for the third rain is when the Yechidim will begin to fast. Elishni Lamai, but what is what's the significance of the middle date? Each one has a middle date. What's the significance of that? But I'm a Rabbi Zeira. It's the same Rabbi Zeira we have here. Rabbi Zeira says, Lenoder. So Rabbi Zeira says, the significance of the middle date is the Noder. If a person took a konam, for whatever it is, but let's say wine, he's not going to have wine till we think it's going with Ada Geshem. If it takes Ada Geshem, so it's the middle date that each Tana says. Now, and we're going to clinch the question in 1 second. The Rina law, and we said concerning this whole piece, Kamana Azla Hadatanya, according to whom does the following brisa go? If the rain comes 7 consecutive days, in other words, it keeps raining day after day after day for 7 days, atan monebahen revia rishona ushnia. So you can have the first revia and the second revia. Now, when we say 7 consecutive days, so this only works within the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, right? In other words, the first opinion says that the first opinion says that the first date and the second date is day 3 and day 7. That's not 7 days between those two. So that's less than 7 days. So that doesn't fit in. He says, and then Rabbi Huda says, it's Shiva and Shabbasar. It's the 7th and the 17th. It's 10 days. That also doesn't work. So Rabbi Yossi, though, says the dates are the 17th and the 23rd. So if you begin counting 7 days, it means, according to the Tana Rabbi Yossi, Rishmuel is working within the Tana Rabbi Yossi. And he's saying, and Rishmuel is addressing the Chachamim, he says, I know that you require actual rain. In other words, talking about a person who makes a neder, that he's making a konam, that he's going to be, prohibited from eating something until the second rains come. So within your opinion, according to Rabbi Yossi, if it rains day after day after day, and it's consecutive rain, it should still be Revi'a Shniyah. So how would it be 7 days? So this begins on the 17th. 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. So the last day of the 7 day rain is the 23rd, which is the time of the Revi'a Shniyah. So even though it's been rain, it doesn't seem like there's a break between the two. But Rosh Hashanah says, according to your opinion of Chachamim, so this should already be the Revi'a Shniyah. But you see from the give and take that we think that we're talking about a case where the person says Ada Geshem. And Rabbi Zeira said before, Ada Geshem is a calendar date. It's irrespective of whether it rains or doesn't rain. But from the statement of Rabbi Shlomo Eliel, it sounds like the rain is essential for the Shita of the Chachamim. Again, Rabbi Shlomo Eliel holds, I'm just going to do the calendar date. As far as I'm concerned, I'm only putting calendar dates in terms of the Nedarim. But according to you, Chachamim, you're like the Tanakama. You say it has to be actual rain. Okay, it has to be actual rain, but you should at least concede that if it's 7 days of consecutive rains, and even though there's no break between the rains, normally you have a little rain, then a break, then a rain, but it's like one big sort of rainstorm that goes on for 7 days, but you should concede that the second Revi is here. So we think from that give and take, that's a kasha against Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira says, if the Ada Geshem, everybody agrees, it's just a calendar day, we don't care about the rains, just look on the date on the calendar. But from Rabbi Shmuel's statement, it doesn't sound like that's the way they hold. It sounds like that they actually hold that it has the rains. That's a kasha against Rabbi Zeira. Let me just do a little bit more, and then I'll finish, and I'll do the round, and we'll take some questions, okay? So the Gemara says, okay, so he says, so come on to Rabbi Yossi. So we're in Rabbi Yossi, so that's the kasha. So the Gemara says, Ahuda Amar Ad Shem. So the Gemara says, no. He was talking about, not that he said Ada Geshem, he said Ada Shamim. So in Achinami, if he says Ada Shamim, then Rabbi Zeira says that in Achinami, there's a machlok between the Tanakama and Rosh Hashanah, whether it has to be actual rain or not. So then it makes sense. We thought he said Ada Geshem, but he was saying Ada Hagashamim. All right, let me just do a few lines in the run, and then we'll try to review a little bit more, okay? So, 1 second. One second. All right. Okay, let's take a look around 10 lines above where it gets medium wide and around. Lenoder, so the Nachmanino for the middle date is Lenoder, Shemadarak Shamim, Astor Revishnia, Stam Shamim Revishnia Mashmas, Shem Academic Lomacheret. Okay, so now Kamana Azahatanya, those 6 lines above where it gets wide. He says, Kamana Azahatanya, Shalomir, Shamim Shardu Shavayim, Zakarzeh, Tomeneben, Revir, Rishon, Rishni, Mind Reviosi. The Amar, Shivasar, Ubi, Estrimu Shosha. Rabbi Yossi says the dates for the second reign and the third reign are the 17th of Mar Chesher and the 23rd. Mayor, it doesn't work because it's not 7 days between the first reign and the second reign. And so it doesn't make sense. He says 7 days, you know, consecutive. He says, Vilu Rabbi Yehuda Yikfei. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's 10 days. So it's more than 7 days. Rabbi Shmuel, the Brahm, the Rabbanan Kamar Lahu. Shmuel is talking within the Chachamim. In other words, according to, in other words, he says, my last narrow line, as far as I'm concerned, I don't care whether it rains or not. I just look at the date on the calendar. The date on the calendar's arrived. Shrine, that's it. It's done. He says, but according to Yuchachamim, and I know you are makpid that the rain has to come. He says, you should at least concede to me that if it began raining at the time of the Revi'a Rishona and then went straight through to the time where it would be normally Revi'a Shniya, you should concede to me that it's also Revi'a Shniya. He says, Rishonim Leizman Nidre, and the time for his neder has concluded. And we think that we're talking about where the person made the neder said, let's say, konam yayin alai ad hageshem, something like that. He says, the wine will be prohibited to him as korban ad hageshem. He says, the hachi hava orachai de imshi. That's the way people normally would typically speak. He says, v'im ita l'Rabbi Zeira, and if Rabbi Zeira is correct, the statement we had on Tamach Beis and Beis, the amar, the ad hageshem kulumodu, the ad shegiz manka amar, the Rabbi Zeira says, if he says ad hageshem, everybody says, it doesn't matter if it rains or not. We'd look at the calendar. Hechi amar l'hu rishulia odali mihat. Well, why recently said you admit to me? In other words, there shouldn't be any machloket about this. So the Ad Geshem, they're on the same page. So they both agree the calendar date. What does it mean admit to me? He says, my area yardu, I feel the yardu kla. What do you say if the rain came down for 7 days? Even if it didn't come down, it would be the date. He says, Kevan, the Nadar, the Geshem Amar, since he said Ad Geshem, the Yizman Hashem Rabbi Yishni, the Kuliyama, Shon Yidre. That's the Kash against Rabbi Zeira. Umetartinan, and the Gemara explains, the second very wide line. You following, Josh? The second very wide line in the Ran, okay? Umetartinan, Ahuda Amar Adag Shamim. So the Gemara says, we're talking about not that he said Adag Geshem, he said Adag Shamim, Lomar Yamar Adag Geshem, in Achinami, Lukuyama Ba'ad Shigiz Manfagi. You're right. If he would have said Adag Geshem, Rabbi Zeira is 100% correct. It means just till the calendar date arrives, is then with the inquiry. About Hakamay Eskin, Damar Adag Shamim. Still, no, here we're talking about he said Adag Shamim. This, I think, is the correct shot in this piece. Okay, let's just review, then we'll take questions, comments, thoughts, and then we'll go on, okay? So again, so we spoke about in the Mishnah, we're talking about different time periods. In the Dharam, a person sets up his own time periods. So if he takes a neder, something's going to be prohibited. So the way Rabbi Zeira explained the sugya, if he says Ad HaGeshem, then everybody agrees it's just till the calendar date for the second group of rains. But if he says Ad HaGeshamim, then there's a machlok between Tanakama and Rabbi Shmuel. According to Tanakama, Ad HaGeshamim means till the rain actually comes down. It could be a calendar date, but there's no rain. It's not Rabbi Yishniya. And according to Shmuel, no, it's just the calendar date always across the board. Went through the Ran, what's the difference between Geshem and Geshamim is? Geshem is defaulting over to the way, you know, like the people normally mean, but Shem is adding on to it. So according to Chamim, they think that it's until the rain comes down. So then we quoted this Braisa. And anyway, then the Braisa quoted different opinions, but one opinion they quoted was Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says that the Revi'a Rishona is, according to Rabbi Yossi, is the 17th of Mar Cheshvan, and then the Revi'a Shniya is the 23rd, and then Rosh Chodesh Kislev is the third day. So within that opinion, Rishon Leil says to the Chachamim, if you have 7 days consecutive of rain, so you should at least concede to me that the second Revi'a has arrived, even though there's no break or anything like that, concede to meaning that the time has arrived. So we said that Rabbi Gamliel is talking within the sheet of Tana Rabbi Yossi. So we said, we think that he's saying Ada Geshem, so it's shlugging up Rabbi Zera. If it's Ada Geshem, then it should just be the calendar date. But it doesn't seem like the Rabbi Gamliel says a nitzmi, you know, it sounds like there's a machloket, and he's talking about the rain. So the Gemara says that Nakinami, the Bryce is talking about where he said Ada Geshemim. But if he would say Ada Geshem, then everybody agrees with the calendar date. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything I did so far? Everybody speechless. Okay, moving on. Okay, everybody good? Okay. Okay. So now the next Mishnah, everybody with me? All right. Manithin. Konami ayin sheni toim l'shana. Now let's say a person says at the beginning of the year, he says konami ayin. It means the wine should be prohibited to me like a korban. He says for this year. It's abra hashana asur ba vibura. If then the year is intercalated later on, an extra month of data, he didn't know this at the beginning of the year. But then they added a month. So he bought into the year, so he's bound to do, he thought maybe he's getting 12 months, but he ended up getting 13 months, but that's where he's going to have to go. Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar, if he says till like Rosh Chodesh Adar, Ad Rosh Adar Rishon. So let's say he said he's not going to have wine till the beginning of Adar, and then it turns out to be a Shana Mubarak. So then that means Adar Rishon. Ad Sof Adar, since till the end of Adar, he says Ad Sof Adar Rishon, till the end of the first Adar. That's the way our Gemara has. Okay? Now the Gemara says, Alma, Stama, the Adar, the Kamar, Rishon. So the Gemara takes it, if a person just mentions Adar without specifying Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni, so it defaults, so from our Mishnah, it sounds like if I just say Adar and I don't specify which Adar, it means Adar Rishon. That's what it sounds like, principle. Right, that's what it sounds like from our Mishnah. So, Lema Manithin Rabbi Yehuda Hi. So, should we say that our Mishnah is following the sheet of the Tanya Rabbi Yehuda? The Tanya, we learned the Braisa. Adar Rishon, Kotev Adar HaRishon. So, if it's, in other words, you're writing a star. So if it's Adar Rishon, you should write Adar Rishon. You should write that specifically in the star. He says, Adar Sheni, Kotev Adar Stam, Dibre Meir. So according to Dibre Meir, let's say it's a leap year, and you're writing a star, whatever the star would be, the most star that we think of are Ksubas. I'm not saying Halach L'maisa, but according to the way Dibre Meir is saying, so if it's Adar Rishon, you write Adar Rishon. And then if it's Adar Sheni, you write Adar. And when Stam Adar is Adar Sheni, according to Dibre Meir. You got that? In other words, Rameir will learn that, like the mitzvahs, let's say it's a Shana Mubarak. So the mitzvahs, you do an Adar Sheni, right? So all the mitzvahs, like the Purim, you do an Adar Sheni, and the Alkris are Parshas Adar Sheni. So Rameir holds, Stam Adar is Adar Sheni. In other words, the additional Adar is the first Adar, is the add on Adar. Not the way people would normally think. But in other words, so Stam Adar, so the real Adar is Adar Sheni. It's like to tell the truth, where the real true Adar stand up. So according to Rameir, the true Adar is Adar Sheni. And then, so it's Adar Rishon, I write Adar Rishon. But Adar is Adar Sheni. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Adar Rishon, Kotev Stam Adar, Kotev Stam. Rabbi Yehuda says, Adar Rishon, you write Stam, Adar. That's Adar Rishon. And Adar Sheni, Kotev Tinyan. In the Adar Sheni, you write Adar Sheni. Tinyan means the second one. So we think right now, so the Tana of our Mishnah said, now, we assume that this is sort of sushtel between Nedarim and Shtarot. In other words, Nedarim is Halecha Char L'Shom B'nei Adam. When it comes to Nedarim, we follow the way people speak. And we assume by Shtarot, we're also following the way people speak. So we're on the same page with this. And the Arsul cited the Ran a few dapim earlier to that effect. So, okay, so that being the case, in our Mishnah, we said, if a person says that he's not going to have wine on Rosh Chodesh Adar, he means till Adar Rishon. Adar Rishon. So Stam Adar is Adar Rishon. So that's like Rabbi Yehuda. That's like Rabbi Yehuda. So we said it sounds like our mission is going like Rabbi Yehuda. That's what we're saying. So the Gemara says, so Amar Abaye, two lines to the bottom on Samakimul Mad Aleph. Okay, two lines to the bottom, Joshua have it. Okay. So Amar Abaye, Afil Tim Rameir. So Abaye says you can even say that our Mishnah follows Rabbi Meir. So Meir holds Stam Adar is Adar Shin. He says, Had Yada the Ma'abra Shata. So the Braisa that we said about when you're writing Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni, that talks about where you knew that the year was going to be a leap year. You knew already it was a leap year. So I know ahead of time there's going to be an extra Adar. So which Adar do I write? Adar, you know, Stam, and which Adar Sheni? Hadlo Yada. But the Mishnah can be talking about where he doesn't even know that there's going to be an extra Adar. So again, so in the Mishnah, he doesn't know when there's going to be an extra Adar. So when he says he's taking a neder that he's not going to have wine till Rosh Chodesh Adar, and he doesn't know that there's going to be an extra Adar, so then even Remeir would say, yeah, what does he mean? He means Adar, the first Adar, because he didn't know there'd be an Adar thing. He meant the beginning of Adar, that's what he meant. But in the Braisa, where he knows that the person knows there's going to be two Adars this year, and then one of them is going to be a Stam Adar, so the Stam Adar, according to the Tan Remeir, is going to be Adar Shein, Adar Shein. Okay, now, let me just finish this again, and then we'll talk, okay? Tanya, turn the page on the top line on Amud Beis. Page 126, the top line, okay? This is Bahatanya. Now, we learn a Braisa, and this Braisa is going to support what we just said. The Braisa says, Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar, Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar HaRishon. If a person, he states in a nether that he's going to do something to Rosh Chodesh Adar, it means Adar Rishon. Im Haytashna Muberet, Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar HaSheni. If it was a leap year, he means to Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni. So the Gemara says, Mefad Reish Alam Muberet Askinan. So what is the first, in other words, were you talking about in the second line of the Brice, we talked about it was a leap year. So the first line of the Brice is talking about Adar Rishon. So what do you mean the first line is not talking about where's Muberet? Obviously it was Muberet there as well. So Shmamina had to pshitale the Ma'abra, that the second line of the Brice is talking about where he knew it was a Shana Muberet. So he knows it's Shana Muberet, and he says, Rosh Chodesh Adar Hasheni. When someone says, yeah. It means like if he knows Shana Muberet and he says, So he only says that the wine or whatever will be only prohibited to Rosh Chodesh Adar, but in Haytashanamu Beret at Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni, he knew that it was the Shanamu Beret, and he says that this wine is prohibited to Rosh Chodesh Adar, he meant Adar Sheni, because he knows Shana Muberet. That's the second case. He says, Shmamina had the Pshita le Dimabra Shata, had lo Yada, but in the first line of the Braisa, he didn't know it was a leap year, and he said he's going to avoid wine till Rosh Chodesh Adar, so then it means Adar Rishon. Okay, let me do a little run, and then we'll talk. Okay? So, this we have. Okay, let's look lower down in the Ran, around the 15th narrow line. Okay, Vahatani b'nichuta. You have Mechlal. Josh, do you have the place? Okay. Mechlal t'b'reish shaloba mugera skin bitmiya. There was this question mark, don't we know? Vahatana rosh hosha adar rishon d'mashma d'ikasheni elevada ikulabum b'era skinan. Meaning the whole price is talking about it's a leap year. Miu reishamai reidlo yada b'ibura hilkach yamar rosh hosha adar. So in the Reisha case, he didn't know his leap year. So he said, he's not going to have wine until Rosh Chodesh Adar. It means Adar Rishon. That lo yada v'ik Adar Sheni. V'sefer dekatani v'maitashanam uberet haki kamar. In the second line of the Braisa says, Shemaya yudei b'shat nidro shaitashanam uberet. If it's on the neder, he knew it was leap year. Ki amar ad Adar Sheni mashmo. He said that way. Now, skip another few lines before it gets wide. V'lein halacha. Came with the Kaimalad Rabbeinu Rabbi Yehuda, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. So now what's the halacha? So the Ran says, of Machlokshin Rabbeinu Rabbi Yehuda, so we pass in like Rabbi Yehuda. Ki Rabbi Yehuda Nakpinan. The Stama da Adar Rishon Mashma. So Stama Adar is Adar Rishon. Hilkach Mishomed ba Adar Sheni. So therefore, if it's Adar Sheni, Bechotev Adar Stam, and he writes, let's say an IOU note, like it was something like that, he writes Adar Stam. So hashtar muktam. So in other words, it's Adar Sheni, and Stam Adar according to Rabbi Yehuda is Adar Rishon. So it's Adar. In other words, he's writing hashtar muktam. In other words, the date on the shtar is earlier than the day of the transaction, predated, right? So in other words, let's say Reuben is lending Shimon $20,000, and Shimon undertakes to pay the $20,000 back. That creates a shibud on Shimon's property, but he's not allowed to like predate the shtar like a month before the loan. But that's what he's doing. If he writes other stam, who pasul, another shtar mukdam is pasul. The stam other rishon lashma hilchas tzrichus kubach b'kodesh other shenin. What a rishon chiv stam be begitin be mishtarot. So the Ran says whether you're writing a get, you're writing a shtar. If it's Rosh Chodesh, if it's Adar Rishon, you just write Adar. If it's Adar Sheni, you write Adar Sheni. Okay, well, let me just do a few halakha, then we'll go back. Okay, now, the Mechaber says, so the Ramah says, this is in Siman Tav of Zion, Shema Abrin Hashana, when you intercalate the year, Kodrin Adar Rishon Adar Stam, write an Adar Rishon Adar Stam, like Reb Yehuda, Sheni Adar Sheni. In the second month, write Adar Sheni. Now, the Mishavur brings down, he says, the Mishmur says the same thing when you venture Rosh Chodesh and Shul. So on Adar Rishon, you would just say Adar, and Adar Sheni, you would say Adar Sheni. But the conclusion of the acronym is, the Mishmur says, the correct way is to specify in both of them. You should write out the date clearly in both of them. Okay, now, more, one second, let me put a little piece from here, and then we'll go on. All right. So he mentions this whole machloket. We went through the whole machloket. Now, the Ran, the Rush, the Raivad, and the Ramah, this is from the Rabbi Zev Bixbin, the Aladaf. The Ran, the Rush, the Raivad, and the Ramah rule in the course of Rabbi Yehuda that Stam Adar refers to the first Adar with regards to dating a document and the Darim. The Magen Avraham comments that according to this view, when blessing the month of Adar Rishon in the Beit Knesset on Shabbos Pred Musaf, Chazal need not specify Adar Rishon, but when blessing the second Adar, he must say Adar Sheni. That's according to the Magen Avraham. Lach is also relevant with regard to observance of a parent's yortzeit, i.e. reciting Kaddish and fasting. The Ramah writes that during a leap year, the prevalent custom is to observe a yortzeit, which occurs in the month of Adar, during the first Adar. In other words, let's say a person, their parent died in a non-leap year, and now it's a leap year. So the Ramah says that you should observe the yortzeit in the first Adar. He says, the Ramah notes, however, that some scrupulous individuals conduct themselves stringently and observe the yortzeit during both months of Adar. According to most authorities, if death occurred during a leap year, then the yortzeit is observed only during the month of Adar that death occurred. Okay, we'll talk in a minute. Now, the Rambam disagrees with the above cited Rishonim and rules in accordance with the Meir that Stam Adar refers to the second Adar. This also seems to be in Tosfos, who cites proofs that the second Adar is the real Adar, so to speak, whereas the first Adar is merely an added leap year, a leap month. The second Adar is 29 days, which is the same length as the month of Adar during non-leap years, whereas the first Adar is 30 days. And B, the festival of Purim is observed in the second Adar. So it sounds like Rameyer has good arguments. It sounds like the second Adar sounds like the real Adar. The Shulchan Aruch in Hilchot Nedarim cites both opinions and does not take a clear position. In Hilchot Gittin, the advice is specifying both the first and second Adar when dating a get so as to satisfy both opinions. Magen Avraham concludes accordingly that when benching the new month, it's best to specify both the first and second Adar, which is the way the Mishbura said about the Maskan Achronim. Now, the Maharim Mintz deals with the question of a bar mitzvah in Adar during a leap year. Based on Tosfos' logic, Maharim Mintz rules that if a boy was born in the month of Adar and the 13th year of his life is a leap year, he's not halachically. Now again, Tosfos says, Tosfos holds like the Rambam that Stam Adar is the second Adar. So based on Tosfos' logic, the Maharim Mintz rules that a boy was born in the month of Adar and the 13th year of his life is a leap year, he's not halachically recognized as an adult, so the second Adar is the real Adar. Many commentators maintain that the dispute cited by our Gemara with regard to Nedarim, dating a document, is not relevant to the question of yortzeit observance and bar mitzvah. They say that the dispute between Ramey and Rabbi Yehuda centers on the understanding of Lashon Bnei Adam, popular usage of the term Adar, not on which Adar is the real Adar, as Tosfos indicates. In fact, the Qasim Sofer suggests that with time, the usage of Stam Adar may have changed. With regard to bar mitzvah and yortzeit, however, the popular usage of the term Adar is irrelevant. So I tell you, the only thing that you could add on to this a little bit is with Al Pi Halacha, in other words, people used to fast on the date of the Yortzeit. So when people would fast on the date of the Yortzeit, it hooks in to Hilchot Nedarim. Once you're getting to fast, like related to Hilchot Nedarim, so then it does match up. Then the Ramah would fit in that it's the first Adar. But some say you do both, which is the way we would tell people. So typically, most people today, at least in Great Neck, don't fast on the day of the Yortzeit. So what we would tell a person is to say Kaddish on both Adars. So let's say they have a Yortzeit on the parent died in a non-leap year on the 10th of Adar. So we would say that they should observe the Yortzeit on the 10th of Adar Rishon and 10th of Adar Sheni. That's the way we would say to do it. Both of them, right. But at least Ashkenazim would do it that way. Now, Sfardim, I don't have the Shulchan Aruch out with me now. Sfardim, the Mechaber passing is just one way. I have to. So the Rambam says.
Expensive, you make two kiddush.
Yeah. So Michael thinks it's most likely that the Rambam. It sounds like most likely, but I need to see it again. All right. So that we have that. Okay. Now, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, and anything I did so far? What's up?
No, I just said that I had Yortzeit for my father-in-law Vovada, and I do both others.
Right. That's the way like it's brought down, and I think from the Rama. Okay, any other questions?
A bar mitzvah, you're somehow born to a certain parsha, so couldn't you try to line it up a little bit?
I don't know about being born to a certain parsha. We figure out when you're bar mitzvah, then we figure out the parsha. So you're born to the parsha when we figure out you're bar mitzvah. Then not the other way around. But the all right, right. Right. So the simple pshat, he has a piece here about the bar mitzvahs, and even there's the machloket about that. But the simple way is, I mean, the typical case is there's two ways to do this. Either the boys are born during a leap year and the bar mitzvah during a non-leap year, or they're born during that would be the case. Let's say you have two boys, that's the other way around. Let's say you have two boys are born during a leap year. So let's say one boy is born on the 10th of Adar Rishon. No. One boy is born on the 20th of Adar Rishon, and the second boy is born on the 10th of Adar Sheni. So the boy that's born on the 20th of Adar Rishon is the older of the two boys. In other words, he was born in Adar Rishon. He's the older. And then the second boy is born on the 10th of Adar Sheni. He's the younger. So if it now let's say the year of the Bar Mitzvah, it's not leap year. So then they both observe it in the month of Adar. So the younger boy gets bar mitzvah first. So his bar mitzvah is on the 10th, but he was the younger one. And the other one has to wait till the 20th, even though he's the older one. Okay, but that's okay.
Best thing is to...
Go ahead. I'll come and say, no, Dina, one second. Go ahead, Aaron Moshe. Yeah.
I was just going to say the best thing is to have hot dishes in both kiddushes.
All right. Okay, what do you got?
Look at some people will need the first, the second, something with that.
I'm not sure. I need to look. Yeah, I need to look.
Some say the first one because it was born in leap year.
Now, he has a little bit more. Okay, I'll just do a few minutes with this, and then we got to run. He quotes the Shulchan Aruch cites the following intriguing halakh regarding bar mitzvah in the month of Adar. If Reuben was born in leap year on the 29th of Adar Rishon, and his friend Shimon was born 2 days later on the 1st of Adar Sheni, oh, this we did this whole thing. We got this. Now, the Magen Avraham rules with regard to your set observance. If one's parent died in a leap year on the 30th of Adar Rishon, and the following year is a non-leap year in which there's only one Adar with 29 days, your set observed on the 30th of Shvat and not on the 20th of Adar. This gets so complicated. In other words, let's say a parent died in a leap year, and they died on the 30th of Adar Rishon, the 30th day of Adar Rishon. Now the next year, it's a non-leap year. So there is no 30th day of Adar. In other words, there's only 29 days in Adar. So when do they observe the Yortzeit? In other words, the parent died on the 30th of Adar Rishon. So the first day of, you know, Rosh Chodesh. But so now there's no 30th day of Adar. So which day do they do? Well, he says the Yortzeit is observed on the 30th of Shvat and not the 29th of Adar or the 1st of Nisan. That's what the main Abraham says. The main Abraham says to observe the Yortzeit on the 30th day of Shvat. He says, similarly, the Binyan Sinim rules with regard to Bar Mitzvah. One was born on the 30th day of Adar Rishon, and the year of his Bar Mitzvah is not a leap year. He becomes Bar Mitzvah on the 30th day of Shvat. Now, Shvat is the month before Adar. So he says, he's of the opinion, since the 30th day of the month is the first day of Rosh Chodesh, is considered the first day of the new month rather than the last day of the previous month. So, in other words, the boy was born on the first day of Rosh Chodesh for Adar Sheni. In other words, the first of Aleph to Rosh Chodesh, you know, the first day of 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. He was born Aleph to Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni. So now there's no 30th of Adar. So the Magen Avraham holds that he becomes Bar Mitzvah on the 30th of Shvat. 30th of Shvat would be the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar. He says, therefore, the birthday of the one who's born on the 30th of Adar Rishon is marked as the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar. Thus, if there's only one Adar in the year of his Bar Mitzvah, his birthday is marked as the 30th of Shvat, since that is the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar. Other authorities disagree and of the opinion that a boy was born on the 30th of Adar Rishon, and the year of his Bar Mitzvah is not leap year, his Bar Mitzvah is delayed until the 1st of Nisan, since Adar in a non-leap year does not have 30 days. This is complicated. If the year of his Bar Mitzvah is also leap year, all agree that he becomes Bar Mitzvah on his birthday, 30th of Adar Rishon. All right. Anyway, there's always interesting things with the calendar. We need to wrap up the daf, okay? Let's go back to the Gemara. We've got to do the last Mishnah, and then that'll be it. Okay, let's all focus. So we're on page 126, Samach Gimel Beis, and we're closing in on a seam of the 8th parak. Okay, Manitin. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kodom Yayin Sheini Toim Ad Sheheya Pesach. Now, if a person takes a neder that he's not going to drink wine Ad Sheheya Pesach. Now, we had this term earlier in the Masechta on Daf Samech. We learned that if you say the words Ad Sheheya, that includes the whole period of time that you're talking about. Even when the first Mishnah in the Perek said, what does it say? It says, one second. Yeah. So the Mishnah says, Ada Pesach Atzur Shagi. The person says, why is forbidden to Pesach till Pesach get there? Ad Shiyahay Asur Atzay. If he says Ad Shiyahay, he's prohibited till the whole for the whole Yantif. So here he says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kodom Yayin Sheini Toim Ad Shiyahay HaPesach. Rabbi Yehuda says Ad Shiyahay Pesach, but it's wine. He says Kodom Yayin, I'm not going to drink wine Ad Shiyahay HaPesach. Lonik Kamin Zad Ela Leil Pesach. So Mistama, we're going to judge him not like the normal rules, we would say the whole Pesach. He most likely meant up until, the way the Ran understands, till the evening of Pesach. Till the time when people normally drink wine. That's what you assume he meant. We're trying to like enter what is the intent of the person who made the neder. He says, Amar, kon basar she'ini tuim ad she'hatzom. He says, kon, I'm not eating meat until the fast. The fast is Yom Kippur. He means he up until the Sudam of second. Sudam of second, he could heat meat already. He intended, most likely, up until the time when people normally eat meat. He says, Rabbi Yossi Beno Omer. Now, we had Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Rabbi Yehuda's son, Rabbi Yossi, weighs in on this. Rabbi Yossi Beno Omer, Konam Shum Shani Toim. If he says Konam, then his garlic should be prohibited as being like a korban. Ajte Shabbat until Shabbos, in a Masurah Shabbat. It means up until Friday night. So the Kabin Zelchah should there up in the call Shum, the way the Bach has it. It means one of the takanos of Ezra, right, was that people should have garlic on Friday nights because it helps with the procreation. So let's take a look. One second. Please just wait 1 second and then wait till I pause, okay? And then you'll ask and comment, okay? Let's take a look at the first second wide line in the Ran. The second very wide line in the Ran. We go after our evaluation. He didn't mean that he's not going to have wine at the Seder. Even though like the language itself sounds like he meant that way, but we don't assume that. Then Remember, there were, I think, four times in a year when people would you know, you can't remember, you can't sell, that you couldn't, that if you sell an animal, you have to say whether it's a mother or a child, or you can't sell the mother and child on the same day because everybody's eating meat, they're going to eat it. He says, so Rabbi Yossi says, even Erev Yom Kippur and Galil is one of those times when you can't sell the mother and the child because people eat it. It says, This is even more strange because the Easter isn't even lasting till Yom Kippur. But he can kind of lay some love back to Shreel Kel, who me by Erev, Elat Sudashal lay at some Kamar. And then, Shaderach ben Adam called Shumba Erev, me takana Ezra. Now, it means like this. So the way the Arshua had it means that what's the point of dispute between Reb Yehuda and his son? So, Reb Yehuda holds that in a Chinami, if it's a mitzvah de Rabbanan, like to drink the wine, or even you have the mitzvah of Sudamav Seket, so then he didn't mean that. But his son says, even Takanas Ezra, yeah, right, he thinks that that's the whole thing. Now, okay, now let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, now we're up to around 6 lines, 8 lines before it gets wide. Omer l'chaveiro, if Reuven says to Shimon, Konam Shani Nelako, he says, Reuven says, I'm not getting any hana from you going forward. I've had it with you. You mean, At Bab in Hotel of Necha, Kurachat Shalchitim, unless you accept this gift, I have this big amount of wheat I'm going to give, or 2 barrels of wine. So, in other words, so I want you to accept the gift. If you don't accept the gift, I don't want to know from you, that type of thing. Says, now he says, like, for my son, but it's like apparently that was a nice, easy way people would express themselves. And we had this early in the Gemara, it was on Chaf Dalet. We had the same Mishnah we quoted earlier on Chaf Dalet. He says, Harezi Echola Fer Nidro Shlo Pi Chacham, means Shimon, who's the, in other words, Reuven wants to give a gift to Shimon. He wants Shimon to accept the gift. And Reuven makes his neder as a way to kind of spur Shimon to accept the gift. So he says, Harezi Echola Fer Nidro, Shimon, to be Mayfair Reuven's neder, Shlo Pi Chacham, without consulting a Chacham. He says, Viomarlo, Shimon should say to Reuven, Kulamar Tel Nikodi. Mistami, you said this, because you want to do kavo to me. In other words, that's where you're saying this whole thing. You want me to accept this gift. It's out of kavo to me. So kavodi, my kavo is just that you offer and then I refuse. And the Ran says on Daf Chaf Dalet, where this comes up earlier, the Ran says, one second. The Ran says, where is it? Yeah, one second, let me find it. One second. Yeah, he says, this is on the second wide line of the Rana Chaf Dalet. He says, She'et kabed al yarka b'tnei abriyot, shiru shani chashubi necha. In other words, you want me to be, you know, honored, that people will see, she'et harosili pein li matala, that you want to give me a gift. So, kabodi she'et kabed yoter, shiru she'et harosili pein, bani eni rosa kabed, because people see that I don't want to accept it. Rabbi Packer was connected to this, like, soni matanot yechir, you know, like, people don't like to accept gifts. But anyway, So he's saying it's like you did my kavod, you fulfilled it already. You did your obligations. Now it was as if I did accept it. Now back in the Mishnah, Omer lechaveiro, and similarly, if Reuven says to Shimon, Konam shanah neitli. Now he says he's making an edda that Shimon can't get any benefit from Reuven his property. Im ein atba v'notein levni kur shalchitim mushtecha v'yoshal yayin. Unless you give a gift to my son. In other words, here the gift's going the other way. In other words, the gift should be on my side of the equation. The mayor holds that Shimon is prohibited in getting enough from Reuven until he gives the gift. But Chachamim Omrim, the Chachamim say, he says, means Reuven, if he, you know, is not happy with the whole situation, even though Reuven is the one who made the neder, he can be, in essence, made for his own neder without a Chacham. Yomarlo, Reuven said, Shimon, bring any kilu in the Kabbalah. It's as if I accepted it. You know, I waive delivery of the gift. Now, on this first very wide line, Hayam Sarev Bo Lasei Barachoto. Let's say, you know, Reuven was urging Shimon that Shimon should marry Shimon's niece. He says, V'amar, and he said, Konam, she, and then Shimon doesn't like being pressured to marry his niece. He makes a neder, I'm not going to get any hana from this niece forever. He says, similarly, if somebody's divorcing their wife, Omer Ba'amar, konam ishtin enait li liolam. This is that he makes an eder that my wife can never get any hana from me in there forever. Though both women, the niece and the wife, can get hana, even though we went through the divorce or he never married the niece, they can get hana from him. So in other words, the person meant that they shouldn't get, like, means like have intimate relations with him. That's what he meant. In other words, like the first case, you know, they keep hacking and shining to Shimon that he should marry his niece. And he says, I'm sick of hearing about this niece. And he makes his letter, he's not going to get any hana from me. It means I'm not going to be have intimate relations with her. And same thing with the man who's divorcing his wife. He says, he makes a point, she's not going to get better from me. I'm not going to be into relations with her. But it doesn't mean, you know, that I can't, you know, do her a favor or something like that. Now, I am sorry, let's say Reuven was sort of making importunations, as they say, that Shimon should have a meal with him. And we had this earlier in the Masechta as well. And then Shimon can't stand it anymore. And he says, Amar konu v'cha sheni nechnas. He says, you know what? He's making the idea, I'm not walking into your house. Skip this. I've had it with you. Or tipat soni sheni toim lecha. Or he says, I'm not drinking like a drop of cold water in your from you. So notwithstanding that neder, mutar li kenes lebeito, he can go into Reuven's house, l'shtomi menot sonen, and he can drink some cold water. So the kamin zel l'shomachilu shnia. What he meant is, I don't want to come for a big meal. That's what I meant. I stop inviting me to this meal. I don't want to have the big meals and stuff like that. That's what he meant. Okay, let me just do a few more lines, and then we'll do a little bit we can. Hadrolach konam yain. Okay, now, Daniel is still with us. Okay, now, okay, the next two lines, then we'll see. The Blazer Omer, this is something that if you want to do Hatar Nadarim, so you need a petah. So the petah is where, you know, if he's saying, if you would realize as a result of the neder, the shame it would bring to your parents, would you have made the neder? And that would be one route to vacate the neder. But Chachamim Osir, the Chachamim Osir this, the way Rav Tati said, that in other words, the person would say, no, I never would have made the neder had I realized it would bring such shame to my parents. But the Chachamim hold that even if he would say that, we don't believe him, because in other words, he might have made the neder anyway. But he's too embarrassed to say to the Rabbanim, you know, I don't care what you do with my parents. So we don't use that as a way to vacate. Okay, let me just do a little bit and then I'll be it. Okay, now. All right. What? Okay. Right. Okay, now.
You mentioned before, the garlic. Is there any medical?
I don't know.
Evidence? Okay, now
we'll talk about it for a minute. Now, today's daf discussed the man who resists pressure to marry his niece. Once someone asked the Mekor Chaim Zitzal, there are many practices prohibited in the Tzava of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. So, I guess Spartan probably not too impacted by this. But anyway, so Rabbi Yehuda Chassid has all these things that you shouldn't do, and it impacts halacha, like you shouldn't marry a woman with the same name as your mother, or a woman shouldn't, but he's got other things in there as well. He says these prohibitions run from not cutting hair in Rosh Chodesh, whereas in the Tavai says you shouldn't get a haircut on Rosh Chodesh. He says to where a married couple shouldn't live. Is there a halakhic basis to uphold these wide-ranging prohibitions? So the Mekor Chaim replied, as you may know, he also prohibits marrying one's niece. So the Tzavah says that a man should not marry their own niece. However, when someone asked the note of Yehuda Zitzal regarding this, he said that it is permitted. He proves that this is a mitzvah from the Gemara Yivam on Samach Beis, which places marrying one's niece in a list of practices in the merit of which Hashem will answer on the day he is called. Based on this proof, the Note of Yehuda concludes that the chassid must have meant, means Rabbi Yehuda chassid must have meant, the Tzavah only be binding on his own descendants. If this is the case, none of the prohibitions are lawfully relevant. In other words, that's a $64,000 question. Did he mean it just for his mishpacha, or he meant it for everybody? So the Mekor Chaim continued, however, the language of the Tzavah itself belies. So the Note of Yehuda says, he just meant it for his own family, Gemarnu. So the Mekor Chaim says the language of the Tzavah belies this interpretation. Besides, how can we ignore one of the Balei Tosfot whose words were said with Ruach Kodesh on the basis of such a claim? As far as the Note of Yehuda's proof is concerned, one of the things listed in the Yivamot, along with marrying one's niece, is lending money to a poor man in this time of difficulty. Surprisingly, the Gemara in Chagiga and Daf Hey applies the verse, it will come upon him many evils and pains to one who gives charity to a poor man in his time of difficulty. Rashi explains that this connotes one who waited until the prices rose, forcing the poor man to pay the expensive price rather than answering his need when prices were lower. Rav Yehuda Chassid learned the same holds true for lending him money in his time of difficulty. Since marrying one's niece is in the same list, this should definitely be avoided at all costs. So yeah, he wants to say that, so he concluded, Gemara's application of the verse that Hashem will answer on the day he calls is hardly proof that marrying one's niece is a mitzvah. On the contrary, it's a kind of rebuke. The person is not included in the promise. I will answer them before they call. So it means like this. From the Gemara, it sounds like there's a wonderful milah marrying the niece. And if you marry the niece, Hashem will, like, your name will be on Korino. Hashem will answer the day he calls. So the Makor Chaim says, no, that's not the pshat. Inachinam, you shouldn't marry the niece. And as far as the Pasuk, it's saying, you're not included in it. Not that he's going to answer. You're not included in the promise that he'll answer you when you call. Anyway, okay, that's going to be a okay. No, okay, now, one second.